Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. It's so good and wonderful, as always, to be back with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to today's program. Well, my guest on today's broadcast has been known to say that we need to broaden our horizons on what storytellers look like. And that when we're talking about burlesque, that we're talking about the politics of desirability. I had the beautiful pleasure of interviewing this fabulous human a couple of years ago on the show, and I'm thrilled to welcome back Dainty Smith. Coming up on the broadcast, the storyteller, writer, actress, curator, burlesque performer, founder of Les Femmes Fatales, Women and Femmes of Color Burlesque. Dainty is right here in the house. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back after this. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Dainty Smith, is a Toronto-based storyteller, writer, actress, curator, playwright, producer, speaker, founder of Les Femmes Fatales, Women and Femmes of Color Burlesque, and so much more. Now, Dainty believes that through the art of storytelling and a willingness to be exposed, that genuine human connection can be made. Her performances often tell deeply vulnerable stories regarding race, religion, sexuality, and challenging social boundaries. Dainty studied performing arts at George Brown College and is a powerful self-taught storyteller, performer, and orator. Now, she performed in the acclaimed independent theater group Les Bleus. She was a co-producer in the independent performance art collective Color Me Drag. She is also, again, the founder of Les Femmes Fatales, Women of Color Burlesque Troupe, the first burlesque troupe for women of color in Canada. In addition to producing and acting, Dainty is also an accomplished and engaging MC and an accomplished speaker. Her speaking engagements have included workshops with women and youth on themes of empowerment, glamour, beauty, self-love, and self-care as revolutionary acts. She has taught workshops at Toronto Metropolitan University, University of Ottawa, and York University on radical body positivity, survival, and thriving. It is my great pleasure to welcome back to the broadcast, Dainty Smith. Dainty, how are you? What a thrill to welcome you back to Turnout Radio. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure. I have been sitting in great anticipation for this moment to be in discussion with you again, Dainty. Always so much to explore in our discussions, which truly, to be honest with you, makes me wish that this show was 3 hours in length. That's my desire.
Someday.
Someday indeed. Well, I want to start off by asking, how are you doing before we delve into our conversation? How is Dainty doing?
Dainty is good. I think Dainty is just, you know, I'm just trying to trust the process in terms of making art and making life, and also just reminding myself to trust myself that I can do this, you know, this whole living thing and art making thing and being in the world. And so my mantra is just red lipstick and one step at a time.
Oh, that's good. Okay. And I join you in the red lipstick and the one step at a time. Prior to our interview, I was so pleased to have a pre-interview conversation with you in which we were talking about radical love. And in particular, radical acts of self-love and self-care. These areas have always been of great interest to me, Dainty, and how I've been exploring it as I've become an older artist. Those explorations have become deeper and deeper for me as I consider my ever-changing needs when it comes to self-care and self-love. And I know you'd shared in our previous conversation about your interest in everyday romanticism and everyday wooing, and the making sure that we are in lovership with ourselves. And so as we explore your mantra and that share, what are your thoughts about those considerations?
I first heard the term being in lovership from Kim Katrine Crosby years ago. She had mentioned that there is a the state of being in lovership, and that it could happen between friends, it could happen between artists and collaborators, community members, that it's something that is, you know, not just a romantic love, but not entirely a platonic love, that it's something, you know, in between the two. And I never forgot that term. I thought it was a beautiful way to describe that love, you know, love could show up in a different form. And so I think about being in lovership and self-wooing all the time. I think about, you know, what are the little things I can do to be in a romantic relationship with myself as I'm trying my best to survive and thrive under capitalism and with all the hard things that this world has against me as a Black woman moving through the world. It's a part of my activism and it's a part of my resistance that I'm valuing my body, I'm treasuring it, regardless of whether or not I'm in a romantic partnership or not with someone else. I'm just trying to remember that I'm always going to be in a romantic relationship with myself. And so I try to encourage a self-wooing, you know, for every day that I do something that's just a little bit of romance or romanticism just for myself.
I was at University of Calgary, and we were engaging in a discussion about radical self-love and about radical self-care. And one of the individuals that was there in the space brought up the question of how do we do that? And it was such an engaging conversation as we recognized that there are so many of us that don't know how to self-woo or how to be in that lovership with ourselves outside of some sort of a partnership with someone else. What are your thoughts on how do we do that? How do we explore lovership with oneself?
I think the main point about being in lovership with yourself is just to be committed to the practice of it and knowing that it doesn't have to be perfect. You're not trying to impress anyone. You know, there's no perfect scoring card or report card for it. What would it mean or what would it look like to just try to give yourself a little bit of love and a little bit of romantic care every single day? And what does that mean? Is that a little bit of red lipstick or a tiny bit of perfume? Or maybe you just let yourself have a nap, you know, or you turn off your phone for 5 minutes. You can define self-wooing for yourself as well. But I just, you know, it became important to me because I'm a late bloomer. I've been a late bloomer in all aspects of my life. As a working artist, as a Black person and a Black woman moving through the world pursuing dating and romantic relationships, I've only had 2 romantic relationships in my life. And so I've spent more time outside of being in a coupledom, you know, a union type of relationship. I've spent more time outside of that than in it. And so what that meant is that for much of my life as a woman making her way through the world has been me getting to know myself, me trying to figure out how to make a career or a life or be sustainable as a working artist and a working creative, me trying to carve out a path. I really only had myself to develop this relationship with. And because of that, it's just always been an important part of how do I get free? How do I get successful? How do I pay the rent on time? How do I make good art? How do I make better art? One of the questions that comes up with those questions is, what can I do for myself so that I know that I am lovable, that I am beautiful, that I am worthy? And I say this not because I think that we can do this all by ourselves. We still need people. We need community. We need friends. We need good friendships and relationships. And we need good, healthy, romantic relationships. Those are all important. We're not meant to be by ourselves. We're not meant to be alone. And so I'm not saying it as though those relationships are not important. I fully honor and recognize that they are. But what I want, particularly for women and femmes, is that we don't abandon ourselves for anyone. And so having this kind of constant, ongoing questioning and relationship with ourselves is just being in a lovership with ourselves and asking ourselves questions, you know, going on a date by yourself, going to the movies by yourselves. They're just small, tiny things that sort of help to quiet the mind. And it also means that you're not giving, constantly giving out to everyone else and not giving anything to yourself.
I thoroughly appreciate the share, Dainty. It does cause me to reflect on my ways of being as a younger artist, as a younger human, that often what would happen is that I would wait for that lovership to come my way. And so I would often rely on it from others. What has been really profound is in the growing older and even in experiencing burnout at times, recognizing in different areas and spaces of my life that there truly was a great power and beauty of offering and giving that to myself rather than waiting for others to give it to me. What I've recognized is that how I determine what it is that I need for my own radical self-care is by asking myself the questions, what do you need today, Nicole, that's going to bring you love and joy and peace and kindness and happiness? And when I explore those questions, it allows me to explore what it is that I need in return that provides me with that self-love and that self-care.
Exactly. I think it's just a daily check-in. It's a daily questioning. It's a constant conversation. that we're having with ourselves. What do I need today? What do I want? What can I do? How am I feeling? And then trying to find answers to those questions.
Absolutely. And it changes, right? It changes.
Yeah, I think that's part of it too. It's allowed to, it should. We're meant to change and heal and grow. And so that's part of it too, is letting our story change, letting our answers change. That's okay.
I'd like to move now to talking about your work at Le Femme Fatale. I spoke earlier about women and femmes of color burlesque, the wonderful explorations that you and many others have been doing in those spaces. And so share with us, please, about Le Femme Fatale.
So I started Le Femme Fatale in 2010. Le Femme Fatale is a burlesque troupe for Black women and women and femmes of color. It's a troupe and a collective for folks who identify as femmes, so that if you're trans or non-binary, but you identify as femme, great, there's a place for you here. It was important to me when I started burlesque that burlesque looked like me, that it looked like a Black woman. I was inspired by a Black woman. I was inspired by Josephine Baker. So when I created the troupe, I wanted a troupe of Black women, and then I later extended it to women of color and femmes of color, because I wanted us to be a part of the conversation when it comes to burlesque, when it comes to performance art, when it comes to live performance, as well as when it comes to what is glamour, what does beauty look like, what does desirability look like. I wanted it to look like all of us, you know, and within the troupe, I have women and femmes who are Asian, who are Latinx, Latino. I have folks who are queer and trans and non-binary. I have light-skinned Black women. I have dark-skinned Black women. I have mixed race Indigenous persons. It should look like all of us. That's how we move through the world. That's how we show up. That's what beauty and glamour and resistance and resilience looks like. And so for me, that's what burlesque looks like. It looks like all of us.
Indeed. And I recall a share that you had provided the last time you were on the broadcast that burlesque has always been beautiful, feminist, and queer. And we spoke about the many intersections of burlesque. I also recall that you shared that anytime a woman owns her own body, it becomes inflammatory. Can you share thoughts on that particular share surrounding the politics of burlesque?
You know, I think because burlesque is so easily viewed as something that's salacious and something that's naughty or bad or on the fringes, it's easy to forget that it was, again, always been feminist, always been political, always been outspoken. It's a kind of art form that was always resistant to the powers around it in terms of the elite, the wealthy. That's so life-affirming for Black people, Black women, and women of color. For so much of history, we haven't owned ourselves. We didn't belong to ourselves. And what I find interesting is within the art form of burlesque, there is something controversial. There's something inflammatory about a Black woman, particularly, or a woman of color saying, this body is mine. It belongs to me. First and foremost, before it belongs to anyone else. And then decorating that body, making that body beautiful, deciding for yourself that you are beautiful before anybody else says that is one of the greatest things that you can do to yourself for yourself. We live within white supremacy. You know, we live under capitalism. We live under beauty ideas or beauty ideals that don't serve anybody. They don't even serve white women. And so I think when you decide to own your body and dress it up and decorate it and celebrate it and make your body an altar, make your body a spiritual vessel and say that your sexuality is sacred, say that there's nothing to be ashamed of, then you give back to yourself something that was taken away. And so I just really want to make sure that Black women and women of color are people who are saying those things, that we're being embodied in those truths and holding those truths. And burlesque has a liberation in that because it allows us to perform a self-ownership without apology.
Sexuality is sacred. I was able to attend my first burlesque performance where you were emceeing. And I left full. It was a wonderful opportunity to be a part of a space and a room where all bodies were being celebrated. You say that our bodies, you know, at one point, our bodies didn't belong to us. Our stories didn't even belong to us. And so when we're considering this, the importance of the narratives of our own stories, sharing our own narratives, what are your thoughts?
Yes. Yeah, that's a great question. I want us to be at the center of our stories, and I want us to tell our stories. Our stories are complicated and layered, and they are full of pain and grief and trauma, and they are full of beauty and magic, ancestral magic, ancestral knowing. They are full of resistance and resilience. They're full of silliness and dreams and softness, and that's such an incredible wealth that we have, that we hold in our bodies and in our hearts. And I want us to own all of it. I want us to move through our lives carrying all of it, carrying as much of our questions and our righteous rage and our pain, as well as carrying all of our hopes and our dreams and our, you know, silliness as Black women, because I want Black women to be allowed to be soft and silly and serious. I want all women to remember to be empowered in that our emotions are valid, that they tell us things about ourselves. And so when our emotions are coming up, they're telling us something. They're telling us something important. I want women to stop silencing themselves just to go along to get along. I think of the story of Eve and the Garden of Eden, and, you know, it's an incredible story. We've all heard of the story of Eve biting the fruit and what that meant for women in Judeo-Christianity. And it's sort of told as a what not to do story. You know, it's told as, you know, a warning to women. And what I thought, I grew up in the church. So for me, what I thought when I heard of Eve in the garden is, why is this woman so hungry? Why is a woman who is in a place of such abundance and such beauty? It's supposed to be paradise and it's heaven on earth, and she's been given everything, and the supreme being God says, just this one tree. And my question is, why was she so curious and why was she so hungry? You know, not that she was led into temptation, not that she was weak-willed, not any of that, not that she didn't listen or she was disobedient, which is how the story is sort of told to women. My question is, why was she curious? What else did she want to know? Why was she so hungry? Because I think if we reframe the story, then we can look at it differently. And I think the same can be applied to burlesque. I think the same can be applied to sexuality and to storytelling. Why is this bad? Why does this make you uncomfortable? Why is it embarrassing? Why is it shameful? What don't you like about it? What parts of it are icky or gross, or you just feel weird about it? You know, what parts of your body don't you like? You know, and why don't you like them? the reason I started wearing red lipstick is because I was told that my lips were too big and too fat and too ugly. And so I decided that I was going to paint them red, and I was just going to have these fat, ugly, weird lips then, because my white classmates wouldn't stop teasing me about them and saying that my lips didn't look right. So I decided I was just going to have a fire alarm. You know, I was just going to have this, you know, this hello, hello, hello on my face, so that people had to look at my lips. They had to look at my mouth, right? They weren't tiny lips. They were these big lips on my face, and they were mine. It's my body. They're my lips. So I can paint them blood red if I want. And so I just want us to keep doing that. You know, it's ugly work, actually. I think that beauty and glamour is actually hard work and ugly work, but it's also affirming work and it's empowering work. You give yourself back to yourself. And that's one of the great parts of the art form of burlesque, is that you are allowed to give yourself back to yourself. You're allowed to be selfish. You're allowed to be unruly. You're allowed to misbehave. You're allowed to be disobedient. That's incredible. Women don't get permission to do that. You're allowed to not be a size 2 or a size 4 and still be sexy. You know what I mean? And so I just want to keep encouraging women to ask questions, even if the answers are complicated. I don't deny that there are complicated questions to the art form of burlesque. There are, and there are complicated answers. But I still think that they're worth pursuing and they're worth asking. The price is myself. I win myself, right? So I'm still going to keep asking, because that's the price. Like, that's what I win, is the prize.
And what makes it ugly work and what makes it affirming beautiful work?
I think it's ugly work because then you'd have to admit what you don't like about your features. You'd have to admit what you don't like about your body. You'd have to admit what makes you uncomfortable sexually. You'd have to admit what you don't like about other women. You know, why don't you like that woman? Well, why does she make you uncomfortable? That's ugly work. You know, you'd have to self-investigate the ways in which you've internalized your own misogyny, the ways that you've internalized shame. And we're all guilty of it to some degree, right? So you'd have to look at yourself and be like, I don't like this. I don't like this about her, or I don't like it about myself. You'd have to investigate what makes a good woman and what makes a bad woman. You'd have to investigate your own respectability politics. I think all of those things are ugly work. When I first went natural with my hair, I felt really ugly. I felt really uncomfortable. I was like, this is not good hair. And we know what good hair means in Black community and Black culture. You know, I had a lot of people speak back to me about, you know, you're a fair skinned or brown skinned Black woman. You're pretty. Why would you like not straighten your hair? You know what I mean? And so those are all the reasons why it's ugly work. You know, we have to look at some of the things about ourselves, things that we've ingested or taken in that aren't actually true, but we swallowed them anyway. What makes it affirming work is you get to decide that you're beautiful. You get to decide that you're lovable. You get to decide that your body, no matter what size, no matter what imperfection, is worth being adored. The rooms of burlesque, cabaret spaces and burlesque spaces are special in that when you go into a burlesque show and a cabaret space, For that time being, the women and the femmes on that stage are dominant. They are in power, not you as a man or as a woman or as an audience member. You decided, you made an agreement that you're coming to support, you're coming to be in conversation, even if it's just energetically. And you're coming to look, you're coming to view, you're coming to have your mind be expanded upon, right? You're coming to be explorative, you're coming to see that beauty can look like this woman and that person, and that all these bodies, all these persons are beautiful and worthy and lovable and sexy all at the same time. There aren't any asterisks beside the person. There aren't any questions. You can agree to that because you've decided to come to the show and say, oh, so this is what burlesque looks like. This is what beauty looks like. It's one of the few spaces in the world that women and femmes get to have that much power and that much empowerment in our bodies and in our selfhood. It's also important because it gives us agency and autonomy over our bodies. We get to decide how much or how little to take off. For me, the least interesting thing that's happening in a burlesque performance is the pasty reveal, right? And I think that that's what a lot of people's minds get stuck on. They're like, well, it's just a woman who's showing her breasts and they're covered in pasties. That's all burlesque is. Burlesque is so much more than that. It is comedy. It is theater. It is storytelling. It is performance. It is political. It is feminist. It is spiritual. It is, what does it mean to have a woman be in charge of you for 5 minutes? For the entirety of a song, you can't look at your phone. You can't pay attention to anybody else. She's telling you something and you have to listen. I think that's an incredible act of resistance in the world. And that's one of the miracles of the art form of burlesque. That's what it gives to us, is that kind of empowerment and that kind of strength.
Dainty, bringing together the diverse talents of over 50 of North America's premier burlesque, drag, and cabaret artists, the Toronto Burlesque Festival is returning October 3rd to the 6th under the neon palms of the legendary El Mocambo, with four sultry showcases of glamour, humor, and high-caliber performances. Dainty, I'm looking so forward to the festival, which also is going to be rooted in messages of diversity, inclusivity, and body positivity. Dainty, talk to us about your involvement in the festival, what we can expect, and more.
So this is the first time the festival is returning since COVID. And so I know that the team and the board members of the Toronto Burlesque Festival have been working incredibly hard to bring this art form back to folks. I'm not sure if people know that it has been rebuilt as a nonprofit, and it's built in now into the mandate that it is going to continue to grow and be inclusive and be diverse. And that's really important to the team and to the board members that run it. It is about uplifting and empowering the community. And it's become, were built into the mandate that this is a space for the BIPOC community, and BIPOC means Black and people of color, and that this is a space for the two-spirit LGBTQ plus performers and artists as well. And that it is about making sure that whoever goes up on that stage feels safe and that they have a right to be there. And so that's how the festival is moving forward, with that as a part of their value system, which I think is really lovely. I'm excited to be one of the hosts. So I'll be the host for Sunday nights or Sunday matinee, sorry. The Sky High Tea, I will be the host for, and I will be speaking with the feature for the day, which is Kahana. And an incredible woman of color who has, again, been one of the trailblazers in the art form of burlesque. And so we will be honoring her. There'll be performances, a show, and then there'll be an artist talk back on the Sunday night. But every night of the festival, people will be coming from across Canada and across America and Europe as well to perform in this festival. And so I think that that's something for folks to know, because people don't realize that this is a real, like, these are people, this is people's jobs, this is people's vocation. People, you know, build their entire lives around the art form of burlesque. There are folks who have been doing it for decades and perfecting the art form, teaching the art form, encouraging others to come into this community. And so the board members and the team that have been working so tirelessly, I'm really proud of them for everything they've been doing. And I just hope that people can come and see all of this, especially if you've never been to a burlesque festival before. Come to the Toronto Burlesque Festival. Come and celebrate beauty and glamour and sensuality and diversity in all of its gorgeous shapes and forms, because it's good for you. It's good for you. Glamour is good for you.
Absolutely, Dainty. And I'm looking so forward to joining you all there. We want to remind those who are our followers of Turnout Radio to please visit torontoburlesquefestival.ca. You can get your tickets via Eventbrite. This wonderful festival, which was founded in 2008, is an artist-led nonprofit organization, and it is so incredible to know that there will be opportunity for us to come together, to be in community together, and to explore, to learn from one another, to love on one another, and to share. And so looking very much forward to it, Dainty.
Yes, I'm excited for folks to come and to be in community with folks that they're not normally in community with as well. I think that's really important to be able to open up your world and your life. And the Toronto Burlesque Festival is a great way to do it. You know, the people who make up this industry and this community are people who are saying, let's make a better world together. Let's do it through glitter and glamour and resistance. And so if you're feeling shy and you're feeling like this is a little bit out of my comfort zone and I've never done anything like this before, even just to go as an audience member, go with your girlfriends, make it a girls' night out, go with your partner, go with your husband or your girlfriend, go with someone, you know, or go by yourself, get dressed up, be, you know, to the nines, you know, put on your heels, your fabulous outfit, and go and enjoy something that makes you feel good in your body, that reminds you that your body is beautiful and is something to be celebrated. Get to know people who might be outside of your world or your bubble or your circle, and see how your world can be expanded upon, and allow yourself to be challenged in the most beautiful way possible. Again, especially if you've never been before, allow yourself to be lovingly challenged and lovingly welcomed into seeing a performance art and a performance of glamour and beauty on a stage. Let yourself enjoy something. Let yourself take away messages of pleasure. Pleasure is good for me. Beauty is good for me. I'm allowed to celebrate my body in all its beauty and flaws and imperfections. Let yourself take these messages in and then continue passing them on. And I say that to folks, especially if they're feeling a little bit shy or a little bit unsure, or again, if they've never been to a burlesque show before, give yourself permission to go, and then give yourself permission to enjoy it. It's to be enjoyed. It's you're allowed to celebrate yourself, and you're allowed to celebrate others who look like you and don't look like you. You're allowed to find something called commonality and humanity within each other. And this is such a gentle way to do it. You go to a show, you see someone on a stage that is beautiful, that is celebrating themselves. And by doing so, they encourage you to do the same for yourself.
Oh, what a powerful and beautiful invitation indeed. Dainty Smith, you are joy magnified. I'm just going to say it. You are. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. But before we go, we want to remind folks that they can visit Toronto Burlesque Festival eventbrite.ca and can get tickets via Eventbrite. And Dainty, where can individuals find out more about Les Femmes Vitales and what you have coming up?
So we have just started the promotion and marketing for our brand new series, and you can find us on Instagram, Femme Fatale Women of Color Burlesque. Our new series is called Noir, and our first show in the series is Pretty Poison, and it'll be at Buddies and Bad Times Theater on October 11th. And if you're familiar with the genres of, you know, film noir or pulp fiction, if you're familiar with something like the themes of camp and over the top and, you know, these beautiful women who might be evil, then this is the kind of show for you, because it's the entire series is built around the idea of giving women and femmes who are Black and of color to be bad on purpose. And so just in the start of Halloween season, come to see Pretty Poison, starring Soft Serve and Ola Menu and Belle Jamel. Come and see beautiful women be bad on purpose at Buddies and Bad Times Theater.
Ooh, wonderful. Dainty, we thank you. Such a pleasure again to share space with you today. Thank you for joining me on Turnout Radio. I look forward to seeing you again very soon.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. That was the ever so fabulous Dainty Smith. Always, I always enjoy our time in conversation together. Join Dainty at the Toronto Burlesque Festival, running from October 3rd straight through to the 6th. You can learn more by visiting torontoburlesquefestival.ca. If you missed the top of this episode, visit CIUT.FM, turnoutradio.com, and some of your favorite podcast platforms where it's currently streaming. Technical production of today's show was facilitated by the wonderful Brittany Baugh. Thank you for joining us, folks, and please join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.
We'll be right back.